thank you for coming this evening and welcome you to another opportunity to rise to the callings of God in our lives. And tonight especially, I want to focus on the whole idea of prayer. You know, if we men are going to be spiritual leaders in our families, and also if we're going to lead the next generation, then we're going to have to become men of prayer. We're going to need to become the prayer warriors. I think usually when we think about prayer warriors, who do we think of? Do women come to mind? Think, you know, boy, if we really want to get the prayer team together, let's call out the women brigade. And we can be very grateful for them that a lot of times they're the ones that carry the heart of prayer. Now, I'm not saying that men don't pray and we don't have men who are prayer warriors. But I think every family, that if we could, if there's going to be a change in, I think, our culture, a change in the churches in our nation, if there's going to be a change in our families, it's going to take men of prayer. It's going to take men that have a calling, a sense of call to pray. And that's what I want to talk about here in this session. And I raise this question, what is it that's going to motivate us to be men of prayer or people of prayer? And maybe it's we don't because we feel inadequate. Do you ever find yourself comparing yourself when it comes to this whole issue of prayer? Like, well, like, do you compare yourself to your wife and how she prays? Maybe she's more articulate than you, and you think, well, you know, so when we pray, she's the one that carries the ball in that because she can just talk better to God. Or maybe you compare yourself with your pastor or somebody that, you know, you look up to, and you think, boy, when they pray, they just, it just seems to flow out and it's so beautiful. And boy, when I pray, do you ever feel like if God's listening to me, maybe he's not any more impressed in about my praying than I am impressed about my praying? And so sometimes we feel so inadequate and feel like maybe we'll fail. So maybe we don't pray. The whole issue that I want to address tonight is the issue of motivation. Motivation to pray. That we might become men who would rise to the call to pray in our lives. And I believe an encounter between Jesus and his disciples will really encourage us tonight. It's really going to give us, I believe, a motivational oomph when it comes to prayer. So before we continue, though, I think it'd be a good idea that we pray and start this off as men of prayer. What do you say? So let's join our hearts together and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have to pray, that in a heartbeat we can move into your presence. We don't have to overcome a reluctance on your part to fellowship and commune with us, that you know us, you know what we need even before we ask. Father, I thank you that you delight to exercise loving kindness and righteousness and justice and to pour out yourself to us. And so, Father, as I pray and these join their hearts with me, we're asking that you would teach us to pray. Lord, if we were those disciples that we're going to read about in Luke 11, Father, answer their request that you would teach them to pray. Lord, answer that to our own hearts. And may we, when we conclude here in this session, have hearts that would rise to the call to pray. And Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your intercession, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the intercession of the Holy Spirit right this minute that's praying. We don't know how to pray. What a blessing. And so, Father, we trust you in this and thank you. Now guide us. Give us ears to hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11:1. You'll notice that Jesus had just come from praying. And apparently the disciples watched him pray all the time. They noticed that he got away to pray often. And notice this was one of those times. Reading in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" You'll notice that they didn't ask him to teach them how to pray. I'm not saying that that isn't entailed in their question. Lord, teach us to pray. But I want to underscore that they actually ask, teach us to pray. And I think that may have come because they always saw Jesus in fellowship with his Father, always praying. He'd get away to pray, and they thought, boy, he's so motivated. He prays all the time. I wish I had that motivation. What is it that moves him? What makes him such a man of prayer? And like I said, I think it still entails how to pray, but if we're not careful, if we get so focused on the how-tos and think that he's teaching us how to pray, we might miss that this is all about motivation. Because you'll notice the answer that Jesus gave really falls under the title of or response in answer to that question, Lord, teach us to pray. And if we're going to become men of prayer, I think we need to have this very same question answered. That same desire that we might have to pray that these disciples had. I hope you have that kind of a desire and that this will encourage you as we look at these scriptures. It has me. Well, let's look at what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples. The first thing that stands out to me is in verses 2 through 4. And that's this, that prayer is simple. That's simple, isn't it? Prayer is simple. Notice how Jesus responded here. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Well, if you consider this, I want you to think about that. What I mentioned a minute ago about comparing yourself. It's real easy to compare ourselves and think, you know, you really have to know how to pray before you can become a man of prayer. And I would like to suggest that can become a huge hurdle. And the Lord Jesus is actually overcoming that hurdle right here. In his response, if you consider what he said to them, what he's saying is this, prayer is so simple, you don't need to know all the details. Look at what he said they could pray. You don't have to know the details because our Father in heaven already knows the details. You'll notice he says just simply, when you pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. We don't have to know how he's going to glorify his name, do we? We don't know. Have you ever had the idea that, boy, if I don't ask just specifically right, I'm not going to get my prayer answered. Have you ever thought that? Like I've known people that said, you know, boy, if I don't ask all the details, like I want this to happen and I want this to happen and this to happen, and what if I forget to ask all those, then the Lord may give me something I really don't want, so I want to be sure I get all the details in. I remember we've moved a number of times in our lives, and like upwards of 20 times. We've looked at a lot of houses. And I remember through the years, we would start praying for a house, and there would be times we actually said, now, Lord, I want a house that's like this. I want this many bedrooms, and Lord, I would like it to be this way in the dining room, and I want it to be this way in the living room, and I would like to have this kind of a fence around it. Lord, I really don't want the chain link. I think I want the wooden fence. And I would like to have this many bathrooms. Now I'm kind of exaggerating, but not much. Maybe you've been there where you thought, you know, boy, if I don't get all those details in, the Lord's just going to think anything will work. Any old house will do. And so I wouldn't want him to get confused. I want to make sure I got it in there and get all the details. Well, what we see here about the Lord Jesus' response is this, and you can see how this would be motivational. If you felt like you had to always pray just right and use just the right words and say all the right these and thous, and whether you're addressing the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, and do you address all of them? Or, and here we're told, it's pretty simple, you just address the Father in this way. You say, Father, glorify your name, and, you know, Lord, we need to eat. We don't have to get into the details of how you're going to provide for us. We don't need to say, Lord, where's it now? I would like for it to come from here, Lord, and I'm just asking for you to provide this much from this place, and, Lord, there's my request. Of course, we jot it down in our journals, and we say, boy, I'm going to wait to answer. You know, I can't wait to write down that God answered that prayer with all those details. But you notice, this isn't what Jesus is saying here. Because I don't think he's talking to us about how to pray as much as he's saying, here's why you ought to pray. One reason you ought to pray and be men of prayer is just simply this. It's so simple. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to be articulate. You just have to know you have a need to glorify God. You have a need for food. You have a need to forgive. You have a need to have that grace to forgive others. You have a need to be protected from the evil one. It's very simple. I don't know about you, but boy, that encourages me. And I feel like I have to say it all the right way. And have you ever thought, like, you really didn't pray if you didn't spend 30 minutes in prayer? 15 minutes in prayer? Or I don't know what your time frame is for righteousness or being really spiritual. But, you know, when I look at this prayer, this is not a 15-minute prayer. It's not a 30-minute prayer. This is a simple prayer. I think what God's after in us isn't how much time and how spiritual we are and how we can impress Him. I don't know, I look at this. How about you? Does that look impressive? That's not impressive prayer. It's just simple. I remember in reading in Corinthians, Paul was real concerned about the Corinthians, that somebody would lead them astray, lead them away from simple, pure devotion to Christ. Simple. We don't have to make this complicated. Jesus made that real clear here. And so I think that's one of the first encouragements here in this passage. It's just simple fellowship with the Father. Your Father knows what you need. In fact, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, that's exactly what Jesus says. You remember where He's describing how the Pharisees pray, and they go out and stand on the corner and they make all these repetitions and they want everybody to see them pray, and they have these complicated prayers. And He says, you know, don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And then you have the Lord's Prayer again. We do need to ask. And I believe the reason for that's relationship. It's just relationship with the Father. We just need to have simple relationship with the Father. He's our Father. Doesn't need to be complicated. You young sons here, aren't you glad your relationship with your dads isn't complicated? You don't have to figure out how to say it all right when you go to Him. Isn't that true? You can just go to Him and blurt it out just like you feel it. Just like you think of it. Say, well, Dad, this is what I think. Here's where I am. And you can just share that. I think it's that way with the Father, the Heavenly Father. Prayer is simple. Keep it simple. Well, there's a second reason. We look in the next verses. We should rise to the call of prayer, or to pray, also because we're needy. Also because we're needy. Take a look in verse 5. And He said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, why does the man persist at the door? Why does he keep knocking? It's because he's so needy. You see, there's a friend that's come to him and has asked for 3 loaves of bread, and he doesn't have any bread. He's needy. His cupboards are bare. But he knows a man that's got those 3 loaves of bread, that has the source of supply. And so he goes to his neighbor and he starts knocking on that door. His neighbor answers and said, you know, this is not a good time. All of us are in bed. What do you need? You know, I've got some friends coming. They're over and it's midnight, but I need 3 loaves of bread. He says, oh, come back tomorrow morning. This guy really needs the bread. And so he persists. He just stays at it because he's so needy. And you know, that's what Jesus is saying here. What should motivate you and me to pray? It's because we're just so needy. Consider how much you need. God has told us that we are responsible in our callings as sons of our fathers, to obey your Father in all things, in the Lord. Does that make you needy? What do you think? How does that make you needy? Stephen, does that make you feel needy? Think, boy, I've got to obey my dad every time. What do you think, Jared? Does that make you needy if you think about that? Maybe a little bit. You think, oh boy, I really need the grace of God to do that. Well, you know what? You're like the guy that doesn't have any bread. You don't have the grace to do it in yourself. God never intended you to have it. He made you needy so you would come to Him. And He's made us that way in everything in life. In our callings as sons of God, we're responsible to love one another, aren't we? To forgive each other. We're responsible to think about the responsibilities of a husband. To love his wife as Christ loved the church. Does that make you feel like a pauper? It does me. Like, I can't love like Christ loved the church. I'm like the guy that I not only not have three loaves of bread, every loaf of bread I get, I spoil. I really need grace. I'm so needy. And we need to know our neediness. And that's one of the things Jesus is emphasizing here. And, you know, I think Jesus understood that neediness. Usually we think of Jesus as having it all. But if you consider what motivated Jesus actually was this. He had such a need for fellowship with His Father and to have the Word of His Father to Him and to see what His Father was doing. Because He was determined. He would not speak on His own initiative. He would not act on His own initiative. He would only do what He saw the Father doing. He had a tremendous need. How would He know how to love you? How would He know how to love me? To know how to love us, He would have to go to His Father to see what His Father was doing to love us. And then He would draw from the cupboard of His Father those three loaves of bread. And He'd bring that bread to us and He would say, here, let me serve you. And He would love us with the bread of life. But you know, He had to go to His Father to get that. And what He was saying to these disciples was, what ought to motivate you to pray? Not only is prayer simple, but it's because you're so needy. And we see that illustrated in this story whenever He says, suppose one of you shall have a friend. See, He's wanting them to feel it. He's wanting them to get into the picture. He didn't just pick any man. He said, just suppose it's one of you. Your wife comes to you, your children come to you, and what do they come to you for? They come to you to get a drink of Jesus. They come to you to eat a meal of Jesus Christ. They come to you to see the faith of Christ, to see the love of Christ, to see the joy of Christ. Boy, we're needy, aren't we? That's why we're to pray. We ought to pray all the time. When are we not needy? Wouldn't that motivate you to pray more? You know, if we're really conscious of our neediness, we pray all the time. Well, I think that's what Paul said, wasn't it, in Thessalonians? Pray without ceasing. You're praying all the time because we're needy. Now, furthermore, because of our neediness, we should persist in prayer. That leads us to this next little passage here. And we see the persistence at the end of this where he says, and because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. But why is it that he's persistent? I believe it's not only is he persistent because of his neediness, but he's persistent because of promise. We're going to take a look at that here in just a moment. He's persistent because of promise. Look at these next scriptures. And I say to you, this is verse 9. I say to you, ask. And the tense here is ask and keep on asking. Not just one time ask, but you ask and you keep on asking. Can you see how that would carry the idea of persistence? You don't just, he goes on to say, and it shall be given to you. That's a promise, isn't it? Did I read that right? Do you all read the same thing there that I'm reading? That's a promise. Ask and it's going to be given to you. He goes on to say, seek. And keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock, and keep on knocking, and it'll be open to you. The tense of the verb tells us persistence. It just, again, persistence. You keep on asking. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. What are you asking and seeking and knocking for? What makes you so persistent? Well, we're back to our neediness, aren't we? But also, we're here because of promise. Here, it's much more, he's stepped past the story about the man going to the door, looking for the bread. He has no promise there that that man's going to get up and give him bread. What motivates him there is the need. But now Jesus is going to add another dimension, another motivation for us, and that's promise. So he says, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, and that is, keeps on seeking, finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Of course, the answer to that is no. Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Again, the answer, no. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, there's a couple of things here that stand out in my mind I want us to take as we look at this passage. And that's promise, and show you the importance of promise. But I'm going to need a volunteer for this. Let's see. Jared, can I borrow you? Have you got a pen with you? Can you borrow a pen? Go to someone that has a need because of your neediness. You go to your father. You knock on the door for... No, I'm kidding. Come on up. That's part of the illustration. Do you mind? How about if you just come right over here so we don't get in trouble with these cords here? Now then, if you'll hold your pen out. In fact, give me the pen. Now, here's how promise works, and here's how prayer works. If you think about this, let's consider this, Jared, that I'm going to take the place of God, and I've made some promises to you. Maybe some promises like this. If you would ask, you would receive, and seek, you'd find, and knock, and the door would be open to you. And that if you really wanted the promises of God, and this represents the promises, okay? And I say, I will give this to you. Do you want it?
Yeah.
How bad do you want it?
A lot.
Like, do you want the promises?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How bad do you want the promises?
A lot.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you what's happening right now. I can tell that Jared believes and is trusting that I said I would give and he will give. You know how I can tell? He's not pulling. He's waiting for me to give. Have you ever seen this illustration before, Jared? Here's what some people will do. Now I want you to take it like, say, your dad promised you a rifle or something, and you really wanted it. What would you do? You wanted to really demonstrate you really wanted it. What would you think you'd do? Well, what you might do is grab onto that pin and start pulling on it. So why don't you do that? Just start pulling on it. Now then, when I feel him pulling on it, what is he trusting in if he were to be doing that? He's trusting in his asking. He's trusting in his side of it. He's really not trusting in the heart of the Father to give it at the right time. Now, let's say the more he pulls, keep pulling, Jared, really pull. All right, now notice this. If I were God, and we're kind of using this as an illustration, and I sense him pulling, trying to demand and have it his way in his time, I know that faith is not being built that way. That's not the faith of the Son of God. That would be, we're going to talk about faith in another session. You'll understand that this is maybe one kind of faith, but not God's kind of faith. Now, what happens in most people's lives when it comes to prayer is this. They look at the promises of God and they say, boy, I really want that. And so start pulling on it like you really want it. So we start pulling on it. And when we don't get it, when we want it, and God doesn't release it and give it like we want, there are a number of responses to that. Some people just give up, and they let go. Go ahead, Jared. And that would be like stopping to pray. They just quit praying. They say, you know what? Every time I pray, I don't get what I want, so why should I pray? I'll just quit praying. There's no use praying. God doesn't hear me. I'm not cut out to be a prayer warrior. You know, the prayer warriors, probably when they ask, God gives it to them when? Oh, right then. That's how you know you're a real prayer warrior, is when you ask and he gives it right then. That's not true. You see why. Then there's some people, go ahead, they're holding on and they're persistent. They really feel their need and they keep persisting, but they're pulling and pulling and pulling. Now here's what God is doing when He doesn't give, when we keep pulling and pulling and pulling, trying to get God to give. What He's got to do is bring out our unbelief. And the way He brings out our unbelief is by not giving it to us. He's got to get the unbelief out so that true faith, in its true character, can come to the forefront and become the motivation within the heart. And so what happens is, as long as we're pulling and we're trying to arrest it from God and get those promises, the Lord doesn't give. He's not going to respond except to the faith of Christ within Jared. But notice what happens. Let's say I don't feel Jared pulling, and he, just like he came up here and he took this pen and he laid hold of the promises, but he didn't demand to have them right now. In fact, he didn't demand any details. He just kept prayer simple. He persisted because of the need. He says, "My Father said He would give it. He'll give it at the right time. He'll give just what I need. He knows me better than I do." Now what's happening while he's waiting for me to give? See, he could be thinking this. Unbelief will say what? He didn't really mean it. He's not going to give. How does he answer that unbelief? Well, if faith has to answer back with, "Now that is the Father. Jesus promised He would give. He will give. It's only a matter of what? It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of persistence. Why do I persist and keep on asking, keep holding? Not pulling, just holding, Jared. You're holding and you're just waiting for the Father to give it." Now, when the Father has waited so that faith can be built, there comes a point when the Father then gives. And He gives it. And at that point, what's happened in that whole process? The relationship between the Father and the Son has been strengthened. His faith has been strengthened. Because it's not all about whether I get my prayers like I want them. It's all about relationship and trust and faith. And so prayer is we're motivated by the fact that we're so needy, but we're also motivated by the promise. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here. Jared, thanks. Appreciate it. There may be some things right now that you have, are you yanking on God? Yanking on the other end of those promises, going, "Lord, You promised." Or have you quit? Have you come to the point where you said, "You know what? I don't have a good track record on my prayer, answers to prayer, my prayer journal. So, I just pray when I feel like it." Or do you just pray when you really, really, really feel your need? Like you've heard the foxhole prayers. The foxhole prayer is when your life's on the line, but the rest of the time, you don't feel your need. Well, the thing I wanted to emphasize here is what Jesus is emphasizing, that's promise. He's saying, "Men, here's why you ought to pray. You ought to pray because the Father has promised to give to you the Holy Spirit. He's promised to give to you what you really need." So often we think what we really need, perhaps, is that answer to prayer, when really what we really need is the relationship that comes because of the issue or the event that's causing the need. Where what we really need is the Holy Spirit. We really need to be filled. We really need to know how to pray because we don't know how to pray. And that's one of our greatest needs. I think when it comes to neediness, and we start thinking about Jesus' teaching here about how needy we are, could there be a greater need than to be filled with Jesus? What do you think? I can't think of a greater need. I mean, I have a lot of temporal needs, but they're temporal needs. The greatest need I have is to be filled with Jesus. And that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And I think that's why here in this passage, He says, the Father has promised to send the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus told them that when they pray, the Father's promised the Holy Spirit to help them. Now, what if you knew that every time that you prayed and you were needy, what if you knew and could be confident of this fact, that God the Father is giving you the Holy Spirit at that point in time to help you when you pray? What would that do to your prayer life? I want you to consider it. Because actually Paul taught us this in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. I want us to take a look at what Paul teaches us about the Holy Spirit and His relationship to us in prayer. I believe what Paul is teaching here actually comes from this teaching. Partially comes from this teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Romans 8, beginning in 26. He says, "And in the same way..." Verse 25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." Do you see how that relates to what we've done so far, what we did with Jared? Hope. See, we've been saved in hope. What that means is God has saved us using promises. And He's given us promises. And those promises provide hope. Now, those particular promises that provide hope, that's what causes us to persevere, because we're so needy to have that hope realized. If we had the hope realized, we wouldn't persevere, would we? It'd be done. We'd be satisfied. We'd be totally filled, and that's going to come. Isn't that a great hope? We'd be totally filled with Jesus. It's a great promise, isn't it? That's enough just to cause you to hang on right there, isn't it? That's why we persevere. But here's another reason. He goes on to say this: "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should." Would you consider that? What Paul's saying there? He's saying when it comes to prayer, we don't know how to pray. Would you admit that? Consider your situations in life. Do you really know how to pray? Like if you're in a trial, what would be your prayer? Probably the same as my prayer. And it is, "I think, Lord, we're done with this trial. In fact, I think You can stop it just probably in the next 5 minutes. We can be done with this one." We would pray, "Lord, you know, if somebody's troubling us..." Have you ever prayed this? "Lord, would You please take them away or change them?" Ever prayed that prayer? And the Lord didn't do it? What does that mean? It means you didn't know how to pray. There have been other times when you've prayed and God didn't answer, and you thought, "Oh, I just didn't know how to pray." I remember whenever our fourth child, just before Amanda came, for 9 months, I had in my prayer journal all these wonderful requests for this fourth child. Boy, she was going to be beautiful for the glory of God, of course. And she was going to be intelligent for the glory of God. And she was going to be skilled. And God was just going to use her. And I mean, I had all these wonderful prayers. And then Amanda was born. And she was born with Down syndrome. And I remember going back to my prayer journal and going, "Lord, why? You let me pray like this for 9 months. And Lord, it wasn't all what You had in mind." And all I could remember hearing in my mind was this: "Well, if I had asked you asked you to pray for a Down syndrome child, would you have done it? Would you have thought that was me?" I had to honestly answer that: no. No, I wouldn't have asked for that. If I'd heard that, I wouldn't have gone, "That's the Lord. That's what I need to ask for." You know what? God knew exactly what I needed. I wouldn't trade Amanda for any child in the world. She's exactly what I needed. So were my other children. They were all just what I needed. They were in answer to the Holy Spirit's prayer, who helped me when I was weak. And I think the Lord just, when He listened to me pray like that, thought, boy, look how complicated Norm is. Look how he's trying to get this and get that. And, you know, he just has no idea about how I want to bless him. You know? But what I have in store through this trial. And so, what I see in this and what Paul is saying is, you know, we're so needy, we don't know how to pray. What we need is whenever we pray, we need the Holy Spirit to pray. Wouldn't you agree? Isn't that what Jesus promised? What he promised was, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? And the whole context of this is in answer to what question? Lord, teach us to pray. He's answering the question, why should we pray? What is it that ought to motivate you and me to get on our knees or to get on our faces or to sit and bow our head in our chairs in the morning or lying in bed to bow our heart before the Lord all the time during work, whatever we're doing? What is it that ought to motivate us? And I think he saved the best for last here. I mean, it's great that prayer is simple. It's great to understand our neediness. But, oh, the promise that when you pray, the Holy Spirit prays. Can you see Him pray? No. Can you hear Him pray? No. And how do you know He's praying? Because the Father promised. Jesus says, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. And whenever the Holy Spirit prays, look what He says next. In verse 26, He says about the Holy Spirit, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I've heard people interpret this that that's talking about speaking in tongues. I don't think that's at all the context here. I don't think that's at all what it has in mind. I think what it has in mind is just exactly what it says. That whenever you pray and you don't know how to pray, you in your weakness, and He doesn't condemn us. Aren't you glad He doesn't condemn us when we don't know how to pray? He doesn't go, it's because you're so sinful that He sent the Holy Spirit to you. He says it's because of our weakness, we don't know how to pray. He says the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings too deep for words. But look what happens when the Holy Spirit prays. Verse 27, and He who searches the hearts. Now, who's the He here? He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So we know it's not the Spirit. The He's talking about here is not the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, because He, same He, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Who is it that ever lives to intercede for the saints? That's Jesus. And He knows the mind of the Spirit. So what if every time you prayed and you started asking from the Father, just simply asking because you're needy? What if every time you prayed, the Holy Spirit, you knew the Holy Spirit's interceding for me and I don't know how to pray, but He knows how to pray? And that every time the Holy Spirit starts to pray, Jesus starts to pray. He's interceding. And He always asks how? According to the will of God. You know His prayers are going to be answered. You can count on it. Have you ever considered what this means? What this means is this. What percentage of Jesus' prayers are answered? 100%. Does He ever take a break? No breaks. He ever lives to intercede. So that means if 100% of the prayers are being answered, that means that whatever is coming to you is coming to you out of the intercession of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is an answer to His prayer. Now, I know you might be thinking, what on earth is He praying for me that this would come my way? He's going to tell us. Look what He goes on to say. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called. Now, what is this whole series about? Rising to the call of God. to the callings of God in our lives. He says this, that this is for those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. There's the answer. You see, you and I would pray, Lord, make me happy and comfortable. Isn't that true? When we start asking our prayers before God, we start saying, well, let's see, what would I like? I think I would like this. So, Father, would you please do this? Or maybe we think what somebody else would like. So, Father, would you please do this? I mean, all of us, when you hear somebody sick, how do we pray? Make them better. Heal them right now. I want to see them healed now. What do we know? Well, this is all we know. We're weak. And in our weakness, we always want healing now. We always want everything fixed now. We always want it to be happy and comfortable. I'm so glad God doesn't whack us for that. It's okay. He understands that. I don't think He condemns us. But we need to understand about prayer, this wonderful promise. And that is, whenever you and I pray, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and our lives are in Him, and God is our Father, that any time you pray, the Holy Spirit prays. And any time the Holy Spirit prays, the Lord Jesus prays. Any time the Lord Jesus prays, God works. And He always works on your behalf for the purpose of making you like Christ. Building that faith. Building your hope. In temporal happiness and comfort? No. Your hope in eternal things. I found the older I get, the more I'm ready to go. The older I get, the more I see the pain, the more I see the sin, the more I see the suffering, the more I want to go, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The eternal things become much more valuable. I become more hungry for them. Are you finding that to be the case too? See, that's what God's after. He's after making us like His Son, Jesus Christ. And the heart of Jesus Christ is to be with His Father. The heart of Jesus Christ is relationship with His Father. He cries out, Abba, Father, all the time. That's His heart cry. In fact, for us to experience the neediness of Jesus Christ, we might need the very thing that you think is breaking you. That you might feel your neediness. That you might feel your need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I found one of the best ways for God to teach us that we need the Holy Spirit is He quits providing supply through a channel that we've been looking to. Just so we can know, or get, so that we don't get confused thinking that the channel is actually the source. And in order for Him to teach us who the real source is, He'll just have a channel that we've been getting His love from or provision from or whatever. He'll just have that channel quit supplying. And what does that leave us with? A neediness to be filled with Jesus. Isn't that true? We've all had that happen. You've had that happen if your wife hasn't supplied your needs, men. You've had that happen as sons and daughters where fathers didn't supply that need or mothers didn't supply that need or your children didn't supply that need. Somebody didn't supply the need. And that just simply brings out the greatest need to be filled with Jesus. And that's what prayer is all about. It's about promise. It's about the Father's made this promise and He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when you pray, consider the Holy Spirit prays. Now, I'm tempted somewhat here at this point to, it helps me to kind of put myself in the position and kind of experience. Maybe you've done this before, but I can kind of picture what's going on in the heavenlies with me sometimes since I begin to think through this and learn about this. I still pray things like, you know, Lord, heal them right now today or whatever. And I can almost see the Holy Spirit going, don't listen to him. You know, Just ignore that. That's just the prayer of a child. You know, it's okay. Just delight in that simple request. It's all right. The Father, here's what we're after. And the Holy Spirit prays. And when the Holy Spirit prays, the Lord Jesus, who knows the mind of the Spirit, goes, "That's right, Father, I want to agree with Him. Where any two agree together, it's done. And Father, I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. This is what we're after, to make Him more like Christ." And the Father goes, let's see. Yes, how can we make Him more like Christ? This would work. And God works. And He sovereignly does something in our lives that is used to make us more like Christ. Make us more needy. Make us pray more. Make us get uncomplicated and get simple. Make us quit trying in our strength to relate to God. You see, the Lord has given us, I think, here three really good motivations to rise to the call to pray. What do you think? Prayer is simple. So rise to the call, man. Prayer is because of neediness. You need to pray. If you're needy, you need to pray. You need to go to heaven? Anybody here need to go to heaven? Sure. Pray. You need to be filled? Pray. You need to enjoy your day? Pray. You need to delight in your wife and your children? Women, delight in your husbands and your children? Delight in your callings? How are you going to rise to your callings? I don't think you can rise to even one calling of God. Really rise to it as God's calling you to rise to it if you don't know that you ought to pray. Because that's how you're going to rise to the callings of God. And then we have that great motivation that when you pray, and I pray, the Father has promised to give the Holy Spirit. So we pray because of promise. Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about those, I think, let's go pray. What do you say? You know, let's pray all the time. What do I need to pray? You know, it's not so much what I need to pray for, is it? As much as it just is, I need to pray. I need to pray all the time. Men, I want to call you to pray. To be men who will pray. Because I really believe that that's the key to your family. That's the key to your heart being focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and being filled with Him. And you know, when we're filled with Him, that's when we glorify Him. Amen? That's what we want. We want to be filled with Him. You know, it seems appropriate that now understanding these things, that it might be a good thing to pray. Wouldn't you agree? And we would close. Joining our hearts in prayer, but joining them with faith. Because we know it's not about all the fine, flowery words we say. It's simple. Knowing that we're needy and knowing that God's promised. So let's join our hearts together. Father, I know if it were my prayer, and if I knew how to pray, well, I don't know how to pray even this minute. Because I would ask every man and woman that are here, and boy and girl that are listening to this or watching it, that Your Holy Spirit would be so poured out on them that their lives would be changed and they would be motivated to pray all the time from this day forth. And generations would be touched. And we would teach our children and the next generation to pray. Why we need to pray. Lord, that's what I would ask. But I so thank You that right now, Holy Spirit, You're praying. That Lord Jesus, You're praying. And it's much greater than I could even begin to understand or imagine. All I know to ask, just to keep it simple, is, Father, glorify Your name. Advance Your kingdom. Father, provide what's needed to every soul that hears. feed them with the bread of life. And Lord, please forgive us. Grant us grace to forgive. And glorify your great name. Keep us from the evil one, we pray. And thank you for hearing us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. With great hope. Amen.